Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. Joining us now is the internationally critically acclaimed board-certified cardiologist and fellow of the American College of Cardiology and the American Heart Association, Michael Osner, MD, author of The Great American Heart Hoax, which offers the first eye-opening look inside the cardiology industry's refusal to acknowledge that the current surgical treatments for heart disease aren't working, citing numerous scientific studies on the high risk and low efficacy of bypass surgery and angioplasty, 70 to 90% of which are unnecessary and don't prevent future heart attacks. Dr. Osner shows readers why they should avoid these procedures. More important, he shows heart patients what to do instead. Michael Osner, MD, FACC, FAHA, is an award-winning, nationally renowned pioneer in the field of preventative cardiology, a sought-after keynote speaker, and a top-selling author. His previous titles include Prevent Your First Heart Attack and the Miami Mediterranean Diet, Lose Weight and Lower Your Risk of Heart Disease. Dr. Osner, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Thank you very much, Lisa.
Yeah, I absolutely loved your book. It is so fascinating. And in the introduction to your wonderful book, The Great American Heart Hoax, you write, quote, "Within the pages of the book, you will learn the dirty little secret that is undermining the credibility of the most sophisticated healthcare system the world has ever known," unquote. Now, we talked about this a little bit in the introduction, and if you can expand on that, I was shocked to learn that 70 to 90% of the bypass surgery and angioplasty are actually unnecessary.
Well, that's correct. I think that if you look at cardiac intervention, and we're talking about the stable patient, we're not talking about individuals, men or women, who present to the emergency room in the throes of a heart attack or about to have a heart attack. Those are unstable individuals who clearly benefit from intervention, such as stents, such as bypass surgery if indicated. But the problem in America is that we have expanded the indication to millions of stable individuals. These are individuals that are walking around. They may have a little twinge of chest discomfort. They get work at their doctor. They may have no symptoms. They're found to have a blockage. They're perfectly stable. And they're put through these procedures. We do not have any evidence, after numerous studies and clinical trials, that have looked at this issue of stable men or women getting stents or bypass surgery. There's no evidence that they will live one day longer or prolong your life by one day or prevent a future heart attack by getting these procedures. So that in and of itself is the hoax. We really do not give our patients proper informed consent, because what is really disturbing is that we have a better approach in the stable individual. That approach is what I've outlined in my book, starting with lifestyle intervention, and then getting patients to goal with medications as necessary. Remember, this disease that kills more men and women than any other disease that we have in the United States, namely cardiovascular disease, is a metabolic disorder. It's not a mechanical disorder with a mechanical solution, such as a stent or a bypass. It's a metabolic disorder that requires a medical solution. And we have the tools today to be able to halt the progression of this disease and, in fact, reverse it. And that's what I talk about in my book.
Well, that's why your book is so wonderful. You know, I have a master's in public health and health education, and so I'm all about prevention. And one of the things in your book that is so just upsetting, you write, quote, "Cardiovascular care is an almost obscenely lucrative industry in America, and evidence abounds that financial concerns may be distracting hospitals and physicians from focusing on what should be their primary concern, what's best for the patient," unquote. And that is just heartbreaking. No pun intended, to think that it's about money.
Well, you know, the truth of the matter is that what has sprung up in America on every street corner and every community in the country, every hospital has built cath labs, they've built open heart facilities, because really cardiovascular services are the cash cow of most hospitals. And it's a very competitive industry. And in order to survive, a lot of the hospitals and the hospital administrators and the people involved with hospital politics have figured out that they need the latest CT scan. They need the latest bypass suite. They need all of the stents. And again, I have no problem at all in the unstable patient who needs these procedures. But when we start to expand the indication for people that don't benefit from this, that's where I have a problem. And Lisa, it starts out with our the fact of the matter is we had an incorrect understanding as to what causes heart attacks. And this went on for literally decades. The old view was a plumbing theory of heart disease.
Yeah, I wanted to bring that up. Our arteries are not our pipes.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the old view was that we had a progressive buildup of sludge in our pipes, that mm-hmm. sludge being cholesterol and fatty deposits,
mm-hmm.
until it choked off the artery and you had a heart attack. Well, that view has not only been challenged, but really disproven. We know that the vast majority of heart attacks are caused by atherosclerotic plaques that are, in essence, little pimples in the artery wall that, when they get highly inflamed, suddenly rupture, leading to a sudden and often catastrophic thrombosis or clot that shuts down blood supply. So if that is the operative mechanism, you could be walking around feeling perfectly fine, have a little 1%, 5% blockage, and that blockage, because it's highly inflamed, suddenly ruptures, and you develop a clot that shuts down blood supply. You can literally go without symptoms to a sudden heart attack, or even worse, sudden cardiac death, in a matter of seconds, without warning.
Oh my goodness.
And that's the reason why the vast majority of men and women who have a sudden heart attack, or who drop dead suddenly from what we call sudden cardiac death, have no prior warning. Because it's not the 80, 90% blockages that really are the culprit. It's the small 5% or 10% or 20% blockages that really go undetected because people don't have symptoms. Now, because we understand that that is the what takes place, then, and we also understand that many of the larger blockages are stable, even though they're larger blockages, because they may not be inflamed, then our entire premise that we are going to take men or women and we're going to perform bypass surgery or we're going to put in stents only in the large blockages, leaving the small ones alone, of course it's not going to benefit the patient long term. What's going to benefit the patient long term is an approach involving diet, exercise, smoking cessation, stress management, and of course medical therapy to get you to goal. That's going to take care of all the blockages, large ones and small ones. And first and foremost, we now recognize that this is not a chronic problem, but it's a chronic inflammatory disease that by doing what I've just said with a prevention approach, you basically take highly inflamed plaques and you make them no longer highly inflamed. You take an unstable plaque and you make it stable. What we call a vulnerable plaque and make it non-vulnerable. We also know from the work that has been done around the country and around the world that we now can not only halt the progression of these plaques, but we can reverse them. And I think that this is exciting. For me as a preventive cardiologist in the trenches of prevention for the last 25 years, this is exciting. The fact that we now have the tools to be able to reverse the number one killer in this country is something that we need to be on the rooftops shouting about, not simply just saying, get your stent, get your bypass, and I've fixed you. That is a fallacy. You know who fixes the patient? The surgeon who does the appendectomy on the patient, on Joe or Mary, who comes into the hospital with acute appendicitis.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's wheeling Joe out the door, he could say, Joe, I've cured you, I've fixed you. Because your appendix is now in the pickle jar, you will never come back to the hospital with acute appendicitis. But when Joe is wheeled out of the hospital, or Mary is wheeled out of the hospital after the stent is put in, or after the bypass operation, the doctor can't say that. Because unless Joe or Mary changes the very factors that got him or her there in the first place, they will be back.
Wow.
With more stents, yeah, more bypass surgery, more intervention.
How do other cardiologists take the information? I mean, are they on board, or what do they think, at least some of the ones that you've spoken with?
Well, we know that many physicians, most physicians around the country, certainly are caring physicians. They understand that there's been a changing of our understanding of what causes heart attacks. They understand that they really should opt for lifestyle intervention, that they certainly should opt for medical therapy. And by the way, medical therapy, which we now have very powerful medications that can also help when needed.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's not forget that some patients can certainly be treated mainly with lifestyle intervention, and medication is never a substitute for a healthy diet. We could talk about the Mediterranean diet.
Yes, I like to.
Talk about exercise. Mm-hmm. But, you know, most physicians understand that. Clearly, there are some that don't, that clearly do not discuss with their patients alternatives for a blocked artery, such as lifestyle intervention and medical therapy, and especially, again, in the stable patient. Remember, if the patient's in the emergency room with the proverbial elephant sitting on their chest, or they're unstable, having progressive chest pain despite maximum medical therapy, intervention such as stents, such as bypass surgery, is certainly acceptable. But what we're talking about are the literally hundreds of thousands of patients that are subjected to these procedures without being given an alternative that is safe, that involves a delicious diet, an exercise program, stress management techniques that you could teach somebody to do in 5 or 10 minutes, and smoking cessation, and medications if needed. To me, if patients were told that they have a blockage in their artery, would you rather have me put in a metallic stent, where in reality we're trading one disease for another, the disease of a blocked artery for the disease of a metallic hardware in your heart?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you like me to do a bypass operation, which involves a major operation? Diet and an exercise program, and would you like me to get your metabolic stew cleaned up with the use of medications? I can promise you the overwhelming majority would say, certainly I'd like to avoid surgery and the risks associated with it. I would certainly like to try your prevention approach first. And I think that is not what is being told to many patients.
No, I don't think so either. I wish we could clone you, and you could be everybody's doctor, because this information needs to be heard. It really does. So I'm so glad that you're joining us today, because this is so vital. And it's just, I mean, I got so frustrated, as you know, like I said, having a master's in public health and health ed, and feeling like, you know, I was in so many programs that got cut, and they're always cutting money for prevention. You know, it's like, what is going on in this country? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's right. And I think that the term that I just used earlier, namely the metabolic stew, what I call the atherogenic metabolic stew. And what is that? That's more than just cholesterol, what we call the bad cholesterol, LDL cholesterol. It's all of the thrombogenic risk factors, such as fibrinogen, such as all of the things that are bloodstream, make it more like clot. Inflammation, and we measure inflammation in our bloodstream with novel biomarkers such as high-sensitivity C-reactive protein. It's the number of bad particles that we're able to measure. And by addressing these metabolic derangements, we can clean them up.
Mm-hmm.
We have medications along with lifestyle intervention, as I mentioned, that can clean up a person's atherogenic metabolic stew, making them, in many respects, heart attack proof.
Wow.
And I think that is the direction that we should be headed in this country.
Oh,
not
completely.
Doing more and more intervention, but aggressive prevention with conservative intervention when truly needed.
Yes. Yeah. Because there are some times that it is truly needed, like you were saying.
No question.
But there's so many times it's obviously not needed, and the stuff that you're talking about in your book. Now, we only have a couple minutes left. If you can tell us a little bit about the Mediterranean diet.
Well, the Mediterranean diet I got interested in over two decades ago when the literature started coming in, showing that a Mediterranean diet significantly reduces a person's risk of a heart attack. One of the major studies performed years ago showed that a middle-aged Greek man following a Mediterranean diet had a 90% less likelihood of a premature heart attack compared to his middle-aged American counterpart.
Oh.
I was so impressed by this that I immediately got a little 20-page dissertation on a Mediterranean diet, gave it to all my patients. They loved the food. They loved the diet. And lo and behold, I found that, gee, this is working. People are not having the heart attacks. So really it was the request of my patients that said, you know, you got to put this in book form and write this up, and I did. The Miami Mediterranean Diet, which is a traditional Mediterranean diet, utilizing really changes in nutritional science like plant stanol and sterol spreads that have come along. But this diet works, and we know that it helps to slow the progression of atherosclerotic disease, decrease inflammation, lower blood pressure, lower blood sugar, and all of the things that we need to do. And it's been shown over and over again in many, many randomized clinical trials worldwide. I don't have enough time to talk about this. If somebody's interested, they're welcome to go to my website, drosner.com, drosner.com, and I've got lots of information that's free. They can sign up for a newsletter. I've got all of that information on my website, and I found that a Mediterranean-style diet, which takes the processing out of the food supply and gets us out of this toxic American diet,
mm-hmm.
is of critical importance.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I mean, I tell everyone, I consider myself a whole foodetarian. I mean, every morning for breakfast, I have a yam. I don't even have to put anything on it. I just have a yam, and then later I'll have avocado with tomatoes and salad and, you know, lean chicken, or, I mean, you know, I think I'm eating a Mediterranean. I love eggplant.
it's funny, when people start to follow this type of dietary program, the feedback I get is that, gee, I thought it would be food that wasn't tasty.
Oh, it's so tasty.
The food is delicious,
mm-hmm.
and they develop satiety, this feeling of being filled up with a Mediterranean. Why? Because all these fruits and vegetables and whole grains and beans and nuts are loaded with fiber.
Yes.
And when we process food, the highly processed, calorie-dense, nutrient-depleted American diet
mm-hmm.
leaves us running for another Twinkie bar 15 minutes after we eat.
Exactly.
And I think that's why we also have a major obesity epidemic in this country. And very, very much of concern is that the obesity epidemic has extended to our children.
Yes.
Adolescents.
It's true.
We now know that that is a major problem, and it's going to translate into type 2 diabetes along with premature heart attacks and premature cardiovascular disease.
That's true. You know, Dr. Osner, this has been so wonderful. I would love to have you come back on in the next couple months to talk about more about the Mediterranean diet.
It would be my pleasure.
Well, that would be wonderful. Well, I want to thank you again. And you gave your website, so that's terrific. And if people want to reach me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. So everyone, keep being healthy. Get on board. Go to Dr. Osner's websites and start eating whole foods. Everyone have a great day. Take care. Thanks again, Dr. Osner. Bye-bye.